Book of Exodus and chapter 25. First speak unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering. And this is the offering which he shall take of them: gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins or seal skins, and sugar wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I shall be, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments, or of all the furniture thereof, even so shall ye make it. Now, this communication, beloved, that commences in chapter 25 is unbroken right up until chapter 31. Now let us look at chapter 31. And verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Now, we have been pointing out that in these great paragraphs of Exodus, there is always a key word. And the key word in this paragraph, which goes right down to verse 16, is very clearly the word Sabbath. Sabbath. And it is used in connection with the same word, rest, or rested, 7 times. So I think that's very significant indeed. Now, look please at the next chapter 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, said unto him, say the God, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we walk not, we know not what is become of him. Aaron said unto them, bring off the golden earrings which are in your ears, in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people drank off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten cup. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation, and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to slay. Move to chapter 35. Verse 1. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together, and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put. Now, chapter 40. Verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tents of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tents of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journey. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all the journey. Because the Lord will add his richest blessing to this reading of his holy word. I would feel it would be useful to have more time to go into the great details of the section to which we have come. But that is not possible, and we just have to move as rapidly through the area as we possibly can in order to cover in some measure of detail the great passage to which we have come. Now, last night I pointed out to you, and I thought you will have reminded your heart throughout the day, that from chapter 1 to 18, we could write over that long section, the work of God. For we did see, surely, in practically every chapter, evidences of God at work. God doing. Now, we pointed that out in chapter for the most part. And I think that's most impressive, that this first part of the book is occupied with God moving, God working on the behalf and for the good of his people. Now, when we come to chapter 19, right through to chapter 40, I have entitled that section, The Will of God. The God who has manifested his power is now about to declare his might. And we saw last night from chapter 19 right through to chapter 24, God declares his mind to his people. And we can sum up those chapters by suggesting that he was giving them his divine standard. And we saw something of the creed and the standard of the law in the ministry last night. I think from chapter 25, as we have said already, to 27, we have the details of the sanctuary. From 28 to 29, details relative to the Sabbath. Their clothing, chapter 28, and their consecration, chapter 29. And then, from chapter 38 to 31, we listen to God speaking to Moses, specifying in great detail something of the Sabbath. Something of the function of the priesthood. And so in all those great chapters, from chapter 90 to chapter 31, we see the will of God revealed. Now I want to come very closely to the last section, from chapter 25 to 31. Because I feel it's important for us to see how God puts things down to us in his word. And if I can encourage you, if I can in the ministry enable you to read your Bible to see what is there, I think it will be a task well performed and an object gloriously accomplished. I would like to point out to the younger believers that when they come to read their Bible, do not be looking for some great, something remote. Try and focus in what appears to be simple. And I think if you do that, you will be encouraged to work at your Bible more thoroughly. Now, as I come to this section where we hear the will of God being declared, we want to see how God did. In chapter 25 and verse 1, we have an expression that occurs so many times in these great books that I think we wouldn't give it a second thought. Now that's the tragedy. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, you'll ask me, well, what do you see in that? Well, what I have seen in that is this, that from chapter 25, verse 1, to the end of chapter 31, that expression occurs 7 times. Now that's interesting. 7 times. Just as simply as that. And when I look at the 7 occurrences from chapter 25 through chapter 31, I discover that the whole of this century from its first season in this chapter 25 to chapter 31 is divided into 7 sections. Now, I'm not going to go into those sections tonight. All that I'm going to do is tell you that that is the case. But I did read, and I want you to observe extremely carefully that the last for the last time that word or that expression occurs in the section, it introduces a Sabbath. Now, pointed that out, I told you that in chapter 31, the last paragraph is dealing, as we read, with the Sabbath. And that word occurs 7 times in the 7th section of this communication. Now, that's not what I you see, our Bible is inspired. I hope you know that. So here is God putting the fruit of redemption. Here is God outlining the issues that are going to arise out of what he has done. And he's putting it to his people in 7 sections. And ends with it. You know, that's very like Genesis. I know that in Genesis the subject is creation. And I know that that story is sent to us in 7 days, ending in a Sabbath. So Genesis has a pattern like to Exodus and vice versa. Now, go back to Genesis. As soon as that Sabbath is reached, you know, the very next thing is the hip of the Sabbath. And all that was seen in that Sabbath day, all that God invested in it for the good and of man and the glory of his name, was marred by the intrusion of sin, the rest of the Sabbath. And there'll never be our occurrence of that until, that is the rest, until we meet eternally all that God has for us in his divine purpose. You know that. So, that's Genesis. Now when we come to Exodus, God has revealed his mind concerning his sanctuary. And listen, I hope that you know, beloved, young or old, every time God speaks, every time God declares His mind, there is a power, there is an assault upon the very Word of God. Ah, God said, is the language of the Sabbath. He challenges, He attacks, He questions what God says. And I want you to keep that in mind. Now when we come to this, what has God to do with it? Well, if you look at that lovely passage in 25 and verse number 3, God says, keep all them holy. There is the first item mentioned in the list of all those items that are going to be used to construct a sanctuary for God. They're all going to be brought together by the skill of the Spirit of God, and they're going to be brought in such a way as to have on the sands of the desert something that answers to the mind of God in heaven. Wonderful, wonderful. When we come to chapter 32, gold that was intended for the sanctuary, gold that was a fruit of redemption, is appropriated by the devil. And appearing on the sands of the wilderness is a golden calf.
I get that in your soul.
So the rest that God is speaking about in chapter 31 and that tremendous presentation of His mind and will, it appears is going to be thwarted by the intrusion of the devil on the sands of the wilderness. When he appropriates gold that was intended for the sanctuary. Now you know what happened. The assault of the adversary is only balanced by the appeal of the advocate. Moses is on his way down. He and Joshua, now linked together again after 40 days absent, together observe what is happening in the camp. And before Moses can reach the base of this mount, he goes back into the presence of God and he makes his first appeal. That the indignation of God, that the punishment with which Israel is righteously deserving, will be stayed. And if ever you've got advocacy in your soul, you get it in chapter 32. And you'll get it in chapter 33. For that good man, four times, with four different issues, goes into the presence of God and gets the punishment reversed and gets their pilgrimage restarted and gets the presence restored and gets the promise renewed. Now, that's a lot just in a few statements. But brethren, I want you to look at it. Mighty things happen at the base of this mountain that we would need to consider. And all in relation to the exercise of the real priest, the real advocate, who went back into the presence of God and pleaded, as he did four times, in order to stay the inevitable. And thank God, he did. If any man sin, We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
And remember, brethren,
it's not because you confess that puts the motion and the ministry of Christ into action. Israel were unconscious that in the presence of God, there was a man pleading for them. They hadn't even seen it. You've seen that? And before they were conscious, even of their guilt, that Moses brought before them ever so efficiently, they brought into the presence of God when they were even unconscious that he was thus doing. Brethren, even before we are conscious we have sinned, our blessed advocate is before the Father. Confession makes it real to us. Thank God, even my confession doesn't bring my blessed Lord into operation. He's working for me even before I'm thoroughly conscious. But now, what does Moses do? He took that molten calf, and he ground it to powder, and he burned it with fire. And he caused the people to drink. Now he's doing a lot there. And we'll come back to that next week in the will of God. He's giving them the jealousy offering of Numbers 5. But all that I want you to see is this. That here were people building something that God is going to judge and burn with fire. Now, I want to speak very plainly, and I want to speak very loving. Is it possible there could be those in the meeting, our building system, that are unauthorized by God? I'm not saying for one moment that you will be burned with fire. For I don't believe that. But what I do know, and what you would know, is this. That thing which you build away from the mind of God will pass through the judgment of Revelation 18. And I would tell you that God intended every redeemed soul to be in his ascension. And what the devil has done is what he has done here. He has used material intended for God's sanctuary to build something that will invoke divine displeasure and divine judgment. And when God in his grace brought me into fellowship in the assembly at Ebenezer on the 29th of January 1939, I didn't grasp at all, but thank God for men that helped us and men that taught us. But thank God when the test came, the acidity of the whole thing burned into the soul. I'm very thankful tonight that God enabled us to maintain fidelity to the mind of God. I want you to get that tonight. And I want every soul to feel the burden of this tremendous thing. That here was God introducing his sanctuary. Here was God revealing his mind. And here in this tremendous parenthesis, what happened? The activity, the assault, the attack of the day. Now, I know that Israel didn't know what was going on. But what I want you to learn, beloved, is this, that it's placed, the story is placed, I would say, strategically, to where it is in your life. God has spoken. The mind of God has been revealed. There's the sanctuary, he's saying to his servant Moses. There's the pattern. See that you make it according to that, before that man can come with it to the people he loves, they have formed something that displaces the mind of God and the God that has revealed his mind. These be thy God. My brethren, what a mess. Now, chapter 35. Where does Moses begin? We have got now the will of God revealed. From chapter 32, 33, 34, allow me to call it the will of God rejected. Now, verse chapter 35 to chapter 36, verse 7. What have we? The will of God relayed. Moses gathers the people together, having judged the whole thing and having secured the provident mercy of God. As I repeated, punishment. Punishment reversed. Let me consume them, God. And it's a tremendous passage, brethren. Oh, we could only listen to it. God says, thy people, which you brought out of Egypt. And God says to Moses, look what they're doing. Your people, that you brought out. And this man is in the presence of God. And thou hast brought them out. Oh, beloved, I wish we could intercede for God's people like that. I just can't get away from it. It's a tremendous portion. To hear that man pour out his soul in the presence of God for a sinning people. And to see the hand of God being moved by the mighty intercession of an advocate. He said, stand back now and I'll consume the lot, and out of you I'll make a nation. And any man have said, well, carry off. Now here's the man of God, he has gathered the people of God together, purged from their dross. Where does he begin, brethren? He begins where God ended. Where did God end? Chapter 31. God ended in the Sabbath. The great tabernacle is moving toward a Sabbath. Where did Moses begin? He said, now listen, before I say anything to you, remember the Sabbath. What do you mean, brother? He means this. You'll never do any work for God in God's assembly if your heart's not at rest. Don't mind me putting it that way. Your heart's not at rest. You'll accomplish nothing for God. This man is moving in the wisdom of God. And he doesn't start off and say, make an ark, and make a labor, and make a table, and make that noise. Get yourself into the rest of God. What do you mean? You'll listen to God's word. You get back to where and what was destroyed by your disobedience. You put a hand to the thing unless you're right in rest with God. Brethren, that's wholesome, isn't it? Enough to break us. Aye, we can put our hand to God and be riotous in our spirit. We can put our hand to the things of God and cause unrest. Gather friend of these precious items until we keep a reminder. Well, you know the value of that. You can't read your New Testament epistle and not be at peace among yourselves.
first epistle you ever wrote. Hope you agree with that. If you don't, tell me at the door. Now, chapter 36, verse 8. You look at it if you will. I don't mind, and not disturb me. What is it? The will of God was seen. The will of God was seen. First it was relayed, and Moses, I haven't taken time to tell you where he began with the tabernacle. You know where God began. God began with himself. And the first thing he spoke about was the ark. Now Moses doesn't do that. When Moses relays what he has received, he has a commencing point. And he relays the mind of God to the people. And he relays the mind of God to the people. What a responsibility. What a charge. You know what the great apostle said in writing to a young man. Those things that you have received from me in the mouth of many witnesses, the same unadulterated, the same commit thou to faithful men. Who will teach others also. Brethren, for our generation, the will of God must be relayed to the people. I cannot stand here and assume that you know it. Pardon me. I can't do that. The obligation on my shoulder before God is to relay, to repeat, if you like, to review in your soul and with your soul and mind, the will of God. And that's what Moses is doing in those chapters. But now, that will is received. What did it set in motion? From verse 35, from chapter 36 to 8, 36, 8 to chapter 40, verse number 33, it set in motion the hands, the hearts of the people of God. Now, I'm going to come to that in a moment because I want to deal with a little word or two, but get the order of the passage. The will of God received, communicated to them. And then that communication began the work of construction. And they started to build. Isn't it a lovely story, brethren? Where did we pick up this company of people in the beginning on Monday evening? We picked them up, you remember, in Egypt here. And what are they doing? They are building storehouses for Pharaoh. Before the book ends, what are they doing? They're building a sanctuary for God. You think of what you built. You think of what your hands, with which your hands were engaged before you were redeemed by precious blood. You think of all that which occupied your time and your industry and everything about you for the world. And think tonight, beloved, that you're in something upon which you are building a sanctuary for God. You know the ministry of 1 Corinthians 3. Paul, the wise master builder, take heed how you build. The materials are clearly initiated and introduced. And he reminds us that there's going to be a day when that's going to be inspected and subjected to the consuming holiness of the fire of God. And so we can place ourselves and we can position ourselves in these chapters. Find ourselves being filled and our hands being filled with the communication from God. What to do? To build for God. To build what will answer to His pleasure. Isn't it lovely to think that in, oh I know, I've heard it so many times and I appreciate it. And you do too because you gospel preachers, you use it. That Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. And you preach that of course, and you press it to the hearts of the unsaved, and well you may, Hebrews 11. But what about the other use of the word? The same word in the same epistle that Moses was warned. Same word. What? See that thou make all things according to the pattern. He was warned. The same strength, the same sense as was given to Noah. Warned of God of things not seen as yet. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And we delight in that and we know it. Now brethren, let us extend our knowledge and we don't know it. The same word is used in this sense. In this context. And if I took you back to chapter 25, and I'm loath to do it because there's so much to leave and so much to say, but if I took you back to chapter 25, you'll notice in verse 9, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And you listen to the next time we get that. Chapter 25, verse 40. And look that thou make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount. Second time. Look at chapter 26 and verse 30. And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof which was showed thee in the mount. Third time. Look at chapter 20, look at chapter 27. And verse number 8, hollow with boards shalt thou make it, as it was showed thee in the mount. That is, that earlier communication is punctuated by four references, four reminders to Moses. Moses, there is no room for your innovation. There is no call for your imagination here. I am giving you strictly, simply, and sincerely a pattern. See that thou make it according to the pattern which reminds you. I had the privilege, I don't know if any of his friends are here tonight, or whether you knew the good man, but during the war, at a stage, on the night shift, I had the privilege of working in the tool room alongside a man called Williamson. Came originally from Eden Derry, a big tall man, finished in many, many helpful years in Hollywood. Quiet, godly, sincere man. There I'm working beside him and it was really heaven and earth to be with that man. He had a huge machine to work on, so had I. And we were standing fairly close together and were within talking distance as the machines did their work. He said, you know, Tom, and he was trying to help me as he would. He said, I worked in the pattern shop and across in Harlem for many a day. That's so, William, yeah. He said, I remember one time we had a big job. Pressure on us to get on with it. And we made a pattern. And he said it was exactly according to the principle. And of course, if you know the principle, they put that in the sand and then pour in the liquid and what is to be formed is formed according to the pattern. Out they brought the finished article. What'd they do? They measured it up. It was just exact. So the gentleman, the worker said, now look, we're under pressure here. It's a bit of a job putting this pattern together again and going through the motions. Seeing that we have done such a good job and made an article that answers to the dimensions, just let us put it in the sand. Dispense with the pattern and put what we have made in, and it will save time. And they did. And they made about 5. And somebody said, well, I tell you what we should do, we should check it. When they checked it, it was all off. I thank God for that ribbon. What was Williamson telling me? It doesn't matter how well you think you have got the pattern off. Once you dispense with it and get into your own making, you're off. And so you see the need, brethren? And you see where we are? Now, having received the mind of God, the construction began. And thank God it continued. And it continued in such a dimension that there was completion. And you'll get the detail of the completion in several verses. Chapter 39, 32 to chapter 39, 43. And then there was consecration, because the whole thing from chapter 40, verse 1 to chapter 40, 33 was brought before God. Brought before God. And God directed Moses again. Set up, do this and do that. And it says, and Moses did as the Lord commanded him. So many times, read it, dear saint of God. Read it for yourself. And what happened? Well, we've had the will of God revealed. We've had the will of God rejected. We have had the will of God relayed. We have had the will of God received. But I love the last verses we have read in Exodus, where we have the will of God realized. Realized. And gradually, under the superintendency of the Spirit of God, what happened? There appeared on the sands of the wilderness something that answered to the mind of God in heaven. And I say reverently, beloved, God was compelled to honor it, for he filled it with his presence, and the glory of the Lord I tell you, it must have been a wonderful moment for Israel to stand back, and Moses too, and all those that were devotedly associated with him in this thing, to see the work consummate in the approving presence of God. Brethren, what are we after in Gomorrah? Let us get our hearts open tonight to a God that's looking on and looking in. Are we not anxious that somehow on the sands of the desert here, there will be something visibly established that will command the approving presence of God for his glory? Surely that's the word. And it can only be so insofar as we work according to the path. I know in these days it is being set aside. I know that it is being displaced. I know that it is being replaced by all kinds of innovation and whatever else, but let us just be bowed before God tonight. If this section, so vast, is going to do its work in my soul, it brings me before God in all the searching nature of his presence. There is my word. There is my will. Will you receive it? If I receive it and accordingly act, then I will realize consciously. You will realize consciously that God is amongst us of truth. What else do we want? Brethren, the dearest thing to me is not your home. It's a lovely home. The dearest thing to me is not you. And to me, you're all quite nice. But when I gather with you, the dearest thing to me is the presence of God. And that's what has brought us outside the tent. That's what has brought us to where we are tonight. Ought to be much more accommodating to be elsewhere. But we want to be in the place that answers to the mind of God, that can call forth His approving presence. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And if I thought denominations were on that basis, I'd be away long ago. But because I don't, I'm here. And so the will of God, there. Now, just let me give you a little touch or two on practical thought that I feel is it's very helpful to me. I have enjoyed this in my soul. If you read from chapter 25 to 40, now I'm back on that simple approach, Philip, you would find that the word work occurs over 60 times. Imagine a little word like or a little word like that. 60 over times between chapter 25 and 40. And when I see a word of that dimension, I look at it. And I want to occupy you just very quickly, and I'll close the meeting. I just want to think of the wisdom for the work. The wisdom for the work. Now, you'll get that in chapter 28. Have a look at it with me, please. Chapter 28 and verse 3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Look at chapter 31, verse 3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. Chapter 35, 31. Chapter 35 and verse 31. And the words are again, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. In wisdom. Look at chapter 36 and verse 1. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom. Isn't that real good? You had a wee word for that in the saints on a Sunday morning. I'm sure it'll be really good. Just to encourage them to see that what marked this work was wisdom. That it was wisdom from above. It was wisdom in the power of an unbreathed Holy Spirit. Because in the first passage that I read to you, you have a term, the Spirit of Wisdom. And that only occurs four times in your Bible. It occurs in relation to this making of the tabernacle and particularly of Aaron's garments. It's used in Deuteronomy concerning Joshua. It's used again concerning our Lord Jesus prophetically in Isaiah 11. And it's used of New Testament saints in Ephesus particularly, that to them has been granted the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Isn't that tremendous? Now what does it mean, brethren? Well, when we were looking at Israel at this stage of the journey and at this point of the chart, as compared to where they are now at the base of Sinai, what did we see? I don't know that we looked at it particularly, but we were conscious that they were making bricks. And they got so skilled in making bricks that when the Pharaoh took away from them the necessary elements and demanded that the quota be unchanged, they were able to do that. They were able to make the brick and were able to meet the quota, even though Pharaoh made it extremely difficult by taking from them the quantity and the quality of the material. Aye, they had become experts at brick making. There's not a brick in the tabernacle. Not a brick in the tabernacle. God doesn't need Egyptian skill. But that when he wants a work done, he puts the spirit of wisdom in those people. Not Egyptian learning. Not Egyptian skill. They could make bricks under intolerable circumstances. But God said, when you're going to work for me, I don't want Egyptian skill. There'll not be a brick in my sanctuary. But what will be something that's formulated by the wisdom of my spirit. Brethren, we honor schools of learning, but God doesn't need them. We understand that God has raised up his work, usually through simple men. And while many of them have been adept in the things of time and sense, when it comes down to the vital issue, what really builds for God is what is of the Spirit. So God said, you need wisdom for the Spirit. And I'm going to give you that wisdom in the Spirit of the Spirit. So brethren, there is no room for human intelligence in the things of God. If that intelligence is sanctified, if that intelligence has undergone the purging of the Spirit of God, then we have some. But it was just simply that. God doesn't need it. And give us simplicity, brethren. God, open our hearts to the movement of the Spirit of God. Whether we are qualified or unqualified, as far as the world is concerned, God can use the most highly qualified man that he can put his hand upon. Not because he's qualified, but because there's room in that man's heart for the Spirit of God. The wisdom. Wouldn't it be good to pay attention to the willingness for the work? Some of us have had, and some of us have, heart trouble. And I'm not talking about the ticker inside, you know that. There's another kind of heart trouble. And brother and sister, if you have the other kind of heart trouble that I'm talking about, do you know what I would love you to do tonight? The best dose ever you've got in your soul would be to go to chapter 35 and 36 and see the willing heart. How many times the willing heart and the wise heart, that word heart and hearted used 14 times, double perfection. I was spelling it out simply, isn't it? Wisdom for the work. For my study. But then I need something else as God. I want willingness. Willing heart. You know, beloved, you know that the biggest problem in any assembly, and I don't think you have it here, because I'm not knowledgeable of your circumstances. Thank God, in the home that I'm staying, there's nothing ever discuss with me on those issues. But I'm just looking at it as generally as I possibly can. And this one commodity that we really need. A willing man. Well, you look at the workmanship. I was interested in a trade. I was made a tradesman. I spent my years in a skill that I enjoyed. I look back on days when I could have done anything with steel. And I'm thankful for those days of training. And I can enter into some measure, and I've tried to list them, and I'd like to see your list, if you don't mind, next week, of how many trades were required. The silversmith, and the goldsmith, and the carpenter, and the coppersmith, and the tanner, and the embroiderer. You start going through them all. Think of the tremendous skill that was required to bring this tabernacle into being. That hands had to be skilled. The actual skill of workmanship. Look at that cherubim. Look at those table. Look at that altar. Look at that ark. Look at all the items. Just get it all in your soul and think of the practicality of workmanship. My brethren, we could go on all night, and I know you didn't bring a flask, so I have to stop. The wealth for the work. Lovely, isn't it? I don't know if it ever happened in Dermore, but it happened here. Moses had to put his two hands on. He said, brethren, you have brought him. Isn't it? He actually put up his hand and said, stop! What? Sometimes it's hard to get that here at Scotland. Same with the temple. Have you ever thought of the weight of the work? Have you ever thought it was all wed? What a day it's going to be, brethren, when your work's going to go on to the scales of the sanctuary. We tell the sinner, weighed in the balances and found one. And we hope to share. You don't mind me telling you, but I'm telling my heart. I shiver when I think that my work is on the scales of God. People weigh them. The Lord is a Lord of knowledge. And by Him, action. Amen. I finish with the wonder of the work. The glory of the Lord. Our blessed God, we bow in thy holy presence, precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We trust that what has been of thyself will be used mightily for the blessing and for the encouragement of thy people. We think of the need of the young, that if thou dost not come in the immediate future, the greater burden of the testimony will rest upon those shoulders that are in our meeting tonight. We would long that they be equipped to bear the burden that will be theirs. So we pray for them and trust that as we commit the deposit, thy faithful word
there will be hearts to receive that the testimony may continue. We just fall at thy feet and remember that the day is fast coming when we're going to be evaluated at the judgment seat. We long to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We commend us lovingly to thee in the Savior's name. Amen.